Amen. Thanks, team. George are in the old boys band. Thanks to you. I heard a rumor that it was Mark's birthday this morning, but I can't see him anyway. He's gone to play with the kids. Okay. It's your dad's birthday, right? Yeah. Well, you tell him. I mentioned it. It's on tape. Happy birthday, Mark. We worship the ones who keep going, who push harder, stay longer, carry more. We wear exhaustion like evidence that we matter. We call stopping weakness, laziness, waste. But we were never designed for endless output. There is a rhythm written into us, effort and release, work and rest. Rest is not what happens when there is nothing left to do. Rest is what leads us into becoming who we're meant to be. Maybe strength isn't knowing how long you can keep going. Maybe wisdom is knowing when to stop. I met this guy a number of years ago, and he was absolutely convinced that his life was going to count for something, and that God wanted to use him to make a difference. He loved ministry. In fact, looking back, ministry was probably far more connected to his identity than he realized at the time. He was determined, ambitious, in what he thought was a reasonably spiritual way, and incredibly optimistic. He believed God could do anything. And if God needed a hand doing it, he was available. He always wanted to move. If there was a problem, you solved it. If there was an opportunity, you took it. If there was something that wasn't working, you worked harder. If there was an obstacle, you got over it. If there was a valley, you found the quickest way through it. Sitting still was not really his thing. Which makes me wonder what he would have done with these words from Psalm 23. He makes me lie down in green pastures. I suspect his response might have been, "That's great, Lord. How long are we talking? There's stuff to do." The topic that Dave gave me in this series, He Will Provide, is He Will Provide Rest. I'm not sure if he's having a go at me or not. And Psalm 23 is our text. I'm going to read that to you, but I'm sure that you are very familiar with this psalm. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. Makes. Interesting. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, and your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil and my cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. Jesus, we just commit this space to you. And I pray that you would speak to us through your word, through what you've laid on my heart, and through your spirit. We honor this moment in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, most of us know Psalm 23 reasonably well. And maybe because we know it so well, it's kind of easy to miss how confronting the opening statement is. The Lord is my shepherd. David writes this as someone who knew what it meant to carry responsibility. He had been a shepherd himself, then became a warrior, a king, and a leader, with a people depending on his every move and thought. And yet at the starting point of this psalm, he's pointing to not his capacity to lead, but to the fact that he's still a sheep. His starting point is the recognition that he needs someone to lead him. The Lord is my shepherd. And I think in our world, we can spend a lot of our lives being the person people need something from. We lead families, churches, teams, businesses, homes, ministries. We solve problems, we answer questions, we make decisions, we carry responsibility and try to help other people navigate whatever they're walking through. And somewhere in all of that, without even noticing, we can become so accustomed to being the shepherd that we forget that we are sheep too. Before I'm a leader, a coach, a mentor, a parent, whatever title I might carry, I'm someone who needs a shepherd. And once we start there, the rest of Psalm 23 sounds a bit different. There's some interesting statements. David tells us about this shepherd. He makes me lie down. I don't know how you feel about that. One of the things that God wants to do, according to David, he wants him to lie down. And we celebrate a culture of movement, productivity, availability, achievement, and being needed. And sometimes church culture grabs hold of that as well. We just call it serving God, building the kingdom, and ministry. There's always another person that's going to need our help. Another opportunity, another ministry, another gathering, another problem to solve. So we tell ourselves, well, at least I tell myself, I'll rest when things settle down. The problem is, life rarely settles down. Perhaps one of the things we have to learn about rest is that rest isn't the reward we receive when we're done, when we've completed the mission. Rest is actually part of God's mission in us. It's how He sustains us for the mission. Jesus himself withdrew regularly, we know that. He moved himself away from people, responsibility, the crowds. There were still sick people. There were still people that were hungry. There were still opportunities to minister and serve, but he walked away sometimes just to be with the shepherd. And I find that challenging because I'm a doer. It suggests that the pace of the kingdom isn't supposed to be set by action and anxiety, but by abiding, being with. Sometimes when the shepherd says, lie down, the most spiritual response isn't to try and get back up and say, oh, how long? Maybe it's to trust him enough to stay there. He makes me lie down. It does concern me sometimes. if we don't choose to stop and lie down, how he's going to make you lie down. He restores my soul. Beautiful words. Sometimes you're physically tired and you simply need more sleep. Sometimes you need a holiday, a weekend away, a few days to unplug. But sometimes there's a different kind of tiredness. Soul tiredness. The tricky thing about soul tiredness is that you can keep functioning quite well for a surprisingly long time in that space. You can lead, you can preach, you can coach, you can parent, you can travel, you can run meetings, you can encourage everyone else, you can check your emails and respond to them and keep turning up while something inside you is becoming increasingly empty. He restores my soul. He doesn't say, I restore it. He says, he restores my soul. There are things that I can fix. Not many, but there's a few. There are things a holiday can fix. But there are things that only the shepherd can restore. Sometimes our job isn't to work harder at getting ourselves right. Sometimes it's simply to stay close enough to the shepherd to allow him to do what only he can do. Restore my soul. When I look back 30-something years of ministry, there's been many times in my journey when my soul has been tired, exhausted. But this need in me to keep going, to keep doing, to keep functioning, instead of just being obedient and allowing the shepherd to restore my soul. I sort of feel if Psalm 23 stopped there, it would have been a nice, cruisy psalm. Beautiful words of green pastures and still waters and soul being restoreth. You know, follow God and everything's peaceful and beautiful and still and calm and grassy. Wouldn't that be nice? Suddenly we find ourselves in the valley. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, how do we get from the green pastures and the still waters to the valley so quickly? Sometimes God doesn't lead us around difficult things. Oh, I wish he did. Sometimes he does. Most of the times he leads us right through them. He does say through. So it's not a place we stay, but it is a space we walk through. If you live long enough, you will discover that some valleys don't have shortcuts. There are situations we can't fix. Prayers that don't get answered the way we expected. Relationships that don't recover in the way you hoped. There's disappointments that remain disappointing. And questions for which you never really get a satisfactory answer. Perhaps somewhere along the way, faith becomes less about knowing exactly how God is going to get you out of the valley, and more about discovering something extraordinary while you're still there. You are with me. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. There's a beautiful change in David's language at this point. Before, he's kind of talking about God. He leads me, he guides me, he restores me. But once he enters the valley, he starts talking to God. You are with me. You know, perhaps some of our deepest encounters with God don't happen when he removes the valley. They happen when we discover that we were never walking through it alone. Tell that to the 30-year-old Brett, and you wouldn't be happy. And then there's the table. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Don't like that. I would much prefer you prepare a table before me once we've dealt with my enemies. That would make a lot more sense to me. I could enjoy my dinner. Sort out everything first. Correct the misunderstanding. Make sure everyone knows what really happened. Deal with one or two particular difficult people. Then we can sit down and eat. Apparently God prepares dinner while they're still standing there. Interesting. Do you find that fascinating? A little bit confronting? Biblical rest isn't dependent upon everything being resolved. The enemies are still there. And David is sitting at the table. Maybe one of the freedoms that comes with getting older, because I'm getting older, I'm not old yet. Well, to you I probably am, but you know. Is that I don't have to attend every fight that I am invited to. Wish I knew that at 30. I'm still learning this. Not everyone has to understand me. Not every criticism needs my response. Not every disagreement has to be resolved. Not every wrong needs to be corrected by me. And not everyone has to like me. Most people do. Thank you. Sometimes the shepherd simply says, sit down, eat, I've got you. It's a very different kind of rest. Rest isn't necessarily the absence of our enemies or those that may stand against us, or things that are going pear-shaped in our lives. Rest is being able to sit at the table because you know who is sitting with you. He prepares it. I kind of feel like there's two different ways that people approach life. One begins with what I call action anxiety, the need to prove yourself to the world. Not that I can relate to that. So we become increasingly active. I do more, carry more. Eventually, activity becomes exhaustion, and exhaustion becomes emptiness. Before long, I'm trying to give other people something I no longer possess myself. Psalm 23 offers a different rhythm. Begins by staying close to the shepherd. From abiding comes rest. From rest comes restoration. And eventually what God is putting into us begins to overflow into the lives of other people. David says, my cup overflows. David doesn't manufacture the overflow. The shepherd fills the cup when he makes us lie down in green pastures, when he leads us through the valleys, when he prepares the meals and says, sit down, eat. And he fills the cup. And the cup overflows and begins to pour out upon the lives of those people around us. And what the shepherd puts into him begins to spill out. Mission was never supposed to come from an empty soul. It's supposed to come from overflow. Psalm 23 invites us to sit, I think, with some questions rather than rush towards answers, as I like to do. What am I carrying at the moment that God never actually asked me to carry? Where has anxiety quietly become the pace setter for my life? What am I desperately trying to fix that perhaps isn't mine to fix? Where might the shepherd actually be saying, lie down? Am I serving from overflow? Or have I simply become incredibly skilled at functioning while empty? And am I actually enjoying the presence of God in those spaces? Or have I simply become very good at working for Him? When I look at that younger version of myself, the guy I spoke about at the beginning, which most of you knew was me, I don't want to criticize him. I wouldn't tell him to stop dreaming, stop taking risks, or stop believing that God can do extraordinary things. I wouldn't want him to become less passionate or less courageous or less willing to have a go. But if I could sit him down, knowing what another 30 years of life has taught me, there are some things I'd want him to know. I'd tell him that he doesn't have to prove himself. Some of you need to hear that this morning. He doesn't have to fix everything. He doesn't have to carry everybody. And he's not going to understand everything that happens. Some things are going to work. Some people aren't going to understand him. There are going to be valleys he can't avoid and enemies he can't make disappear. Damn it. And somehow in the middle of all that, he's going to be okay. Not because he's strong enough. Not because he eventually figures it all out. Certainly not because of the leadership conferences he's been to, or the fact that he's preached over 1,500 times, but because of something way more important. You have a shepherd. Stay close to him. Go where he leads. And when he says stop, stop. Don't fight it and argue, young Brett. When he gives you green pastures, don't feel guilty about lying down. That was me. When the path goes through the valley, don't panic and assume you've taken a wrong turn. When he prepares a table and your enemies are still standing there, just sit and eat with him. When he fills your cup, let it overflow into somebody else's life. You don't need to understand the whole journey. You just need to know the shepherd. you know, at 30, I absolutely wanted God in the car with me. No doubt about it. I wanted his blessing, his provision, his wisdom, his protection, his presence. I wanted to follow Jesus and genuinely wanted my life to count. I'm just not sure I realized how often I still wanted to drive. The Lord isn't my passenger. The Lord is my shepherd. My responsibility isn't always to know exactly where we're going. It's to stay close enough to follow. And God provides rest. God provides green pastures, still waters. He provides direction and protection. He prepares a table. He anoints David's head and fills his cup. But his greatest provision is where it starts. The Lord is my shepherd. That is enough. That's why he says, I shall not want, because that's all I need to know and live out of. The pastures, the valleys, the enemies, the table, the overflowing leads to, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. It starts with relationship, it ends with relationship. I believe God's greatest provision is himself. I have the shepherd, so I already have enough. I shall not want, because he is the rest. Let me pray. Jesus, as we move into a time of communion and contemplation, reflection, pray that the words of your psalm would stir in our hearts and in our minds. Different people in this space today need something different. For some it is, slide down. Get into that green pasture for a while. For others, it's strength, presence in the valley. The Lord is my shepherd. That's enough. For others, it might be just sit down and eat. Forget the enemies, forget the obstacles, forget those that you feel are against you, and have a meal with the shepherd. For others, it might be to feel to overflow. Whatever it is that you feel you need in this space today, I pray that you would bring that to God this morning as we take communion as a way of acknowledging what God has done through his Son to make it possible for us to live in relationship with him. Jesus knows his sheep, and before we're anything else, we are his sheep. So let's bring our need, our space to Jesus, trusting that he knows us and that he wants to minister to us this morning.